Welcome to the Round 7 Supercoach Coach Podcast. My name's Marcus, and this week we're joined, as per usual, by FB Donkey.
G'day, everyone.
And we've got special guest Faz joining back with us again today.
G'day, guys. Great to be back. It's been far too long. Can't wait to get into it.
So this week, the big topics for the week are we're going to look at the rookies first up, a lot of keep or trade situations. Now that we're getting to the critical point where a lot of rookies are hitting their peak and we don't have enough trades to get rid of all of them. And then we're going to look at the rookie trade-ins as well. Getting a little bit sparse in terms of options. We're looking at some players with poorer job security, but we'll try to find the best of the lot. Rockliffe, we're going to look at tonight, and Yovie Thurlow as well. A couple of POD mid-prices down back. We're doing really well. But as we do every week, we're going to start with how we scored on the weekend, and I'm just going to start first this week, because just get it out of the way and
tell us how bad you did.
Oh, God. On Sunday night, I posted I wasn't coming on to do the show. So that should tell you a little bit about how I went on the weekend. I scored 20-12. Like, God, people are scoring 2,200. 20-12, guys. Awful. I just dropped 5,000 spots down to 21,923. So I've not been this far back in round 8, like, ever. It hurts. But Brody Smith killed me. Poor scores all around. I had McKenzie on field. Clark, 53. Things just kept going wrong. So I'm keen to get this week done and over with. How'd you guys go?
Woe is you, Marcus. I'm sure plenty of people copped the bit of punishment on the weekend. If you had Brody Smith or Christian Salem on the field, obviously that's going to put you back a fair bit compared to the competition. So how much did you pay for Brody Smith, Marcus?
Oh, 490. So bad.
All right. Well, he should be about 290 in a couple of weeks. I might pick him up then. I scored a little bit better on the weekend, 21.75. I thought I was tracking pretty well all weekend because I missed most of the carnage, but just moved up 700 spots in the rank to 3,693. How's this, Marcus? My trades for the last 2 weeks has been Tom McDonald with 123 and 124. Josh Kennedy with 135 and 122, and Tom Mitchell with 128 on debut for my team. So that's 5 scores above 120 out of 5. Hopefully Rocky can do it this week if I bring him in. Jack Loney was the biggest concern. He was the emergency with 3. I couldn't get Crackers to score onto the field, but I had Fife as captain, and I guess the only real downside was me, was Cripps being laid out. So I had to cop Vandenberg's 37, and if Jordy Lewis hadn't have been injured, that wouldn't have happened. So very welcome to get Jordan back into my team this week. How'd you go, Faz?
It seems like I've split the middle between you two. I got 20.93 on the weekend. Now, I listened to last week's podcast, and I ended up siding with you, Mark. So Tom Mitchell did come into my team.
Good job, mate.
Having brought McKenzie in the week before, I was able to bring in another premium. So I got Robbie Gray. So two great pickups there with a 134 from Gray, 128 from Mitchell. Unfortunately, they look like the only two guys in my team that really held their weight. Had a really unfortunate captain's choice. I was going between three options of Fife, Gray, or Pendlebury. And of course, the genius that I am, I picked Pendlebury. So double 85 just gets me above what Fife got without the captaincy, and avoided the rest of the carnage, I guess. I don't have Brody Smith. I managed to have Salem on the bench as an emergency, so avoided that 16. But there was no avoiding McKenzie and Vandenberg, both in my midfield, because I've got Cripps, Ellis, Yeoman, and Heaney all sitting as zeros on the bench, unfortunately. So,
did you get Salem's good score on the field last week?
I did, so I managed to do that perfectly with Salem. I think I had him as emergency that week as well, and had someone that I was able to slot on to take the zero so I could get his 115 or whatever it was, and then kept the 16 on the bench. So luckily I've avoided the carnage with Salem.
Just to wrap up the round recap, I didn't end up with Mitchell, so I didn't mention my trades. I went with Josh Kennedy, so enjoyed his 122, but didn't bring in Mitchell, and he kicked 2 goals in the last quarter to finish with 33-3
against the Cats as well. just to rub salt in the wound.
That was great. It was great. Anyway,
when he was on 5 points 20 minutes into the first quarter, I was a little bit nervous.
I think there were, 9 or 10 scorers who hit 100 for Sydney on the weekend against Geelong. So he did have a good game, but so did a lot of Sydney blokes. So
that's not uncommon, though.
Yes, but I mean, he's still yet to be tested, is what I mean.
We have already had our Mitchell debate. We do not need to drag it on into this episode.
One. We'll move to the actual topics for the week now with the social media questions. Again, thank you for the questions on Twitter at SupercoachCoach and on Facebook at facebook.com/SupercoachCoach. We'll start with the rookies. Keep or trade situations, guys. So Matt Bates's question is up first, and he's asking about Adam Oxley. Break even of 95, is he a keeper? And if not, is this the week to ditch him? So he's priced at 385, scored 64, he's averaging 82 for the season. Does seem to have big scores in him. Do you guys think it's time for him to go?
Oxley's a really tricky one, I reckon. I mean, like if it was a normal rookie, then this week would probably be the week, because his break-even's above his average, and that's when you normally get rid of a player like that. I think Oxley, with the round 12 buy, is probably a player that might have to be moved on, because it's going to be very tricky to keep him through those buys if he is of a good value, and most of our teams being stacked with round 12 buy players. But I think I'd rather wait until as close to round 12 as possible to get rid of him, because he has those big scores in him. He's scoring just as well as a lot of the premium defenders. So I think that he does seem like a player that maybe you could keep a little bit longer. I'm not sure that he's a keeper. I think you probably have to get rid of him at some stage. But for me, he's got at least one more week in my team.
I'd be worried if anyone is looking to downgrade him to a rookie. There's not too many options, which we'll get into later. And I'm also not sold on their point scoring potential. So if you have to put the guy that you're trading in on field, or it means putting McIntosh on field, I think that could be a bit tricky, because Oxley still has the good scores in him.
Yeah, I think you make a really good point there, Faz, and it's really something that you need to pay attention to when you're upgrading and downgrading. And I know, Faz, you fell a mistake to that a while ago when you got stuck with players that you couldn't actually upgrade for a long time. So you need to really pay attention to who you're getting on field when you downgrade, especially if you're going to be in a situation where you're not going to upgrade quickly. If you can upgrade next week, obviously it's not going to make a difference, and if your plan is to do that, it's not going to make a difference. But otherwise, when you're making all these downgrades, definitely take a look. If you're downgrading and Cripps and Vandenberg's coming on field, you're giving up those amount of points even though you're picking up some upgrade points. So that's definitely a great tip, Faz. And we'll move on to the next question now from Sheehan, or at J9Sheehan on Twitter. Thank you for your question. He's thinking about Lever, who we'll get to in a little bit, but what he wants to know is who you'd trade out for him, McIntosh or Brown. So I thought we'd slot this question in now while we're considering the keep or trades. It's an XVY because they're both priced about the same. 260 for McIntosh, 250 for Brown. Faz, what do you reckon?
Pretty hard to split these two guys. As you said, price is similar, break even, average, all that stuff's looking quite similar. McIntosh, I'd say, has the better scoring potential of the two. He has put out, was it only the one good score?
120, yeah.
Yeah, the 120 first round, unfortunately, so it didn't impact his price all that much. But at least he's shown us that he can do that. Nathan Brown, on the other hand, he seems like the pretty traditional, you know, Presta Giacomo replacement type key defender. The one thing that has me liking Brown over McIntosh is he's a round 12 buy over a round 11 buy with McIntosh. So obviously it's all a bit team dependent on how your buy structure is looking. But Brown is a guy that you could, if you needed to, carry through to cover you over the round 11 buy and then trade him at that point. You'd obviously need quite a bit of cash if you want to turn him into a premium. But, you know, Brody Smith could be cheap, so that could be an option for down the track.
Nathan Brown straight into Brody Smith. That sounds like a ripper. Yeah, I think the counterpoint to that potentially, Faz, is that Nathan Brown, he could go a couple of 30s in a row, and his price might be back to 170, 180 around the buys. So I think if you're going to trade Nathan Brown this week or next week is probably the time to do it. Out of those two, purely because of buys, I'd be keeping McIntosh, just because my team is quite round 12 buy heavy.
If I had to get rid of one, it'd be Brown, like you said, Mark, more pressing because of his low scores. Dean Vasek's question is next from Twitter, and he's asking about Vandenberg. So scored obviously that absolutely horrible 37 on the weekend on field for me, and going to be out of my team this week probably. But is there merit to potentially holding him? Because he's got very late buy, so there's lots of opportunity still to trade him out, and still lots of opportunity for him to go up in price. I mean, you'd think that Vandenberg, if he can average 80, should be able to go up to 400k at some stage.
Yeah, I think I expect him to come good again. I think that this was probably a bit out of the blue, the 37, and that he should go back to normal scoring. And I don't think he's a must trade out this week at all. And because of his round 13 buy, he's someone that would be quite valuable to keep until that point. You might lose a bit of cash out of it. He might go down 30 or 40,000, but even still having that coverage over the buys might be worth it.
I've just noticed that Dean also asked about Hogan in his question. So I'd say the same thing probably applies in Hogan's case as well, in terms of just that flexibility of having a rookie that you can hold right through until round 13.
Yeah, I think given the choice between trading out a Brown type, a McIntosh type, if the difference is only like 30K and you're keeping a player that has significantly more potential, pick the player that has significantly more potential. If you need the 100K difference because it matters for your upgrade, that's a different story.
So if you had to keep one of Vandenberg and Hogan, which one are you keeping?
I would keep Hogan because I like the fact that he could have a big game as a key position forward, and as a talented kid, he's got more talent than Vandenberg. So that's my choice. How about you?
I agree with that.
Faz?
Yep, 3 from 3.
All right, we'll move on to the actual trade-ins now, guys. And the first one, straight off the run sheet, is Lever. So what do you guys reckon about his job security and, more importantly, his price tag? 160K is nothing to laugh at because a downgrade from Brown gets you 90,000. That's peanuts.
Having looked through the prospectus today, it seems like key defense is one area that Adelaide quite struggle with. They've obviously got Talia, who's the standout player, but outside of him, Andy Otten's got a knee injury. I think he's out for, you know, quite an extended period of time. They've dropped Kyle Hardigan from the team. Kyle Cheney's come in. So I think Lever's kind of in that mix. So it really, to me, comes down to if Hardigan was to do something special in the twos, then maybe he would come in and potentially replace Lever. But given that Lever's a high draft pick, they picked him at 14 in last year's draft, and by all accounts, that was a bit of a steal. He'd missed all of 2014 with a knee injury, so he'd slipped down the draft rankings quite a bit. So I think Adelaide would be pretty keen just to be putting games into him. He's more a player of the future than a guy like Hardigan is, and doesn't offer significantly less than what Hardigan does right now. From what I've seen, I think job security looks quite good. Scoring potential, I'm not so sure about. He did pull out a 95 in his first game, but
that was against the Suns.
Yeah, and so came back to earth with a 38 on the weekend.
We sometimes see with second games, especially after a big first game, it's actually a bit of a pattern that there's a big drop-off. I think overall, he seems like a decent selection given the options is the main point. And we're going to get to Robert Gaines' question next, which is, are there any rookies on the bubble likely to keep getting games? So we're going to look at the rest of the options, and we're going to realize it's pretty thin. So that's the main reason to look at Lever, is that he's a very good talent for the price that you're paying, like Faz said. The fact that he missed all his under 18 season and still got pick 14 means that if he gets on field, hopefully he can do something special for us. That's probably the biggest draw card because you have to pay more for him. Mark, what do you reckon?
Yeah, I just wonder whether like a Brown to Lever downgrade where you're only getting 100,000 is really worth it when Lever is potentially going to score quite similar to Brown.
That's definitely a distinct possibility. I think a 95 is a little bit more encouraging, though, and hopefully he takes more of a third tall position, but definitely is a fair point. The key position defenders, if he scores in that 38 range, you could be wasting a lot of money.
Sorry, I also think Walsh has spoken about the fact that Lever's probably playing before he would actually like, and he'd like to get him more development in the sample, but they just needed him in the side due to other injuries and lack of options. And he's coming off a pretty limited preseason as a first-year AFL player, so that could cause concerns in regards to his ability to stay on the park.
We'll move on to the actual other options now, and then we'll come back and reassess all the options together. Billy Stretch is the one that I want to talk about first. 117K from Melbourne, round 13 buy, so that'll suit many. He'll get plenty of price movements before his buy, so you'll actually have an opportunity to trade him out. 14 as the sub on the weekend, 51 in his first game. Either of you guys know much about him?
I think he was about 45 at halftime in that first game and then just faded really badly. So I think he's an ongoing sub risk and he's probably fringe best 22. So I'd be pretty wary there.
Glenn is a chance to come back apparently this week. He only had a 1 or 2 week with the ankle tweak. So 103-36, and we talked about him last week. So if he comes back and you can afford the round 12 buy, of course he'll still have, what is it, 8, 9, 10, 11. He'll have 4 price movements before then, and at his starting price point, that may be enough. But
I reckon that is enough. And 4 weeks is enough.
4 weeks takes us to the upgrade season, which started last round, Mark. So, yeah, that seems like a correct assessment. 4 weeks until you start culling your rookies. Alex Pierce, 124,000, another key position defender. 74, first good debut game. And then again, that second game, bit of game soreness maybe, 27 only. Bit of question marks over his job security because Dawson's not in the team and neither's McFarlane. They're both short-term injuries. So you'd think that in terms of long-term job security, there's a bit of a question mark there.
Yeah, that's what has me worried. Both those boys, McFarlane and Dawson, are just listed as test on the injury list this week. So you'd be expecting one of those two at least to come back into the side. McFarlane, with his age, will be managed through the season, but that might be Pierce's role, will be to come in for a game and out for a game. That's going to hurt quite a bit once it comes to bye time, where we need him to be playing every week. And being a Freo player, he's around 12 bye as well, which, as we've touched on, is quite a heavily featured bye round in a lot of teams.
Yeah, he seems like a bit of a danger pick to me. Like, presents for a couple of rounds, but when the opportunity's gone, you might get stuck with a non-playing. Matthew Dick, he hasn't strung two games consistently. He came in as a sub round 4. Round 7, he's playing again. He's a back mid, which is nifty. We just got McKenzie last week, who's back mid, but that's an extra flexibility there, I guess. Two pretty poor games first up. His break even's already 20 and he hasn't even gone up in price yet. But is he an option? Carlton is struggling. They need players.
I think they've got a few players coming back this week that might squeeze him out.
All right. Mark, you've been looking at some of the more expensive guys.
Started thinking about Lever and whether it was worth paying that much for him. And then there's a couple of other options, which is Corey Ellis in the midfield at 167,000. Played round 5, scored 38, which is pretty low. But then Hardwick said after round 6 that he was going to go look in the VFL team, see if there was some talent in there that he could bring in to help them get a win. And they did win against the Pies and scored 57 points, which it's not awesome, but he was picked 12 in the draft last year. Richmond have given their draft picks a pretty good shot in the last few years, so, and he's a round 11 bye player, so I'm probably at least as interested in him as I am with Lever. The other player is Jordan DeGoey, who's obviously really highly rated. Pies got him as a very high draft pick last year. Did play round 1 as the sub and then has been toiling away in the VFL since then and showing some pretty good form. Came in, scored 88 points on the weekend against the Tigers. Did see him playing up forward a little bit, kicked 1 goal 1, had 9 tackles. 88 points is a really good return. I guess he's 202,000 though, so that does seem like a lot, and he's around 12 by a player. And Collingwood have got a couple of people coming back from injury over this week or the next couple of weeks. I know Ramsey, I think, and Sidebottom's due back. And Dwyer's had a really good game in the VFL as well. So I think that he's probably going to be in and out, maybe borderline at Collingwood. But yeah, I just think that Lever's not that obvious compared to those two as a pick this week. What do you guys think?
I think Ellis is probably the one I'm more interested in out of the two. Not because DeGoey isn't a goer, but he's 200K. That's a lot of money to put into a player when we should be upgrading. It seems like a lot of money to park. I suppose if you foresee yourself having a midfield rookie on field for a while, like if you're going to trade Cripps out, but you still see yourself having an M8 rookie there for a while, then maybe he's a great option for you. But I think I'm probably going to hang on to Cripps for a little bit, and I don't need two of those types. I know it's only 30K difference, but I think I'd rather take Ellis instead, and the round 11 sounds pretty good. Getting his bye out of the way early. Faz, what do you reckon about either of those two?
Probably just the round 12 bye is the killer for me with DeGoey. Having already got Fife and Pendlebury in the midfield, I'm currently playing McKenzie up there as well, so that's already my 3 bench spots that'll be filled up with zeros.
If he could play the 4 games between now and then, you could potentially trade him out for about 350,000, which would be absolutely perfect.
So your plan's actually to bring him in and trade him out, Mark?
I think if I was going to go DeGoey, then I would be bringing him in, hoping he gets 4 games in a row without being the sub, and yeah, then trade him out.
I just feel like it's quite a risky bit to... Yeah, you're hoping for quite a bit there.
I think the biggest problem with him is round 12 means that there's a lot of pressure on him working out within 4 rounds. I mean, it only takes one bad score to really sort of stall that. Like I said, he could work for some teams. I think I'd prefer Ellis out of the two of them. Let's rank all the actual rookie options now that we've gone through them all. Mark, do you want to start us off then, seeing as you seem more confident with these rookies?
It's still pretty early in the week, mate. It depends a little bit on selections. I think that I agree with you that out of the two that I mentioned, DeGoey and Ellis, are probably leaning towards Ellis in that situation if you can get a decent run at it. I'm still really open to picking Lever, DeGoey, or Ellis at this stage. I'm also probably open to picking Josh Glenn if he's named. He's around 12 as well, but just the fact that you're only paying 120,000 for him has me interested. So I'll probably only end up taking one of them, but I'm still looking for a bit more information just on teams selections as much as anything as the week goes on.
I'm struggling here. I really don't. I think DeGoey is the one that I just can't bring in because of the buy situation, and I'm just not confident that he'll get up in price enough within, you know, we've only got 4 weeks left. So it's probably coming down to a toss-up between Lever and Ellis for me.
I'm probably going to go with Mark. You've actually sold me. I think I'm going to put Ellis number one, I'm Lever number two. I wouldn't touch Degoe. If I was looking for somebody cheap this week, I'd probably actually look to next week's rookies. Maybe Dale gets another game. McBean, Elton, they both played. Carl Amon. I mean, there's a lot of quiet games, a lot of sub games, but look to his selections if you need somebody cheaper. I don't think I'd necessarily go with Pierce or even Stretch. What do you think about that? Would you look to next week's rookies and pick a one-gamer?
Yeah, I wouldn't be picking a one-gamer this week, no. I think that you'd have to go with one of the more expensive guys or hope Glenn gets up, which sounds like there's a decent chance that he will this week. I don't want to sell you too hard on Ellis because I think that you guys did make a pretty good case for Lever as well as far as job security goes.
All right, we will move off the rookies now, and obviously a fairly big topic of discussion this week.
It's quite interesting that we had a show a couple of weeks ago, and it was Tarrant and Cracker. You have to get these guys, and last week we're all over McKenzie, but this week there seems a lot more uncertainty in the air.
Which is not great news going into bye period, because that's when we need these rookies playing. Hopefully things pan out for us. And don't forget, on supercoachcoach.com.au, we post the break evens there every Monday. So check it out. It's on the homepage. And we'll move on to the actual positional questions now from social media, starting off with a comment from Michael Eskander in the back line. Brody Smith! Exclamation mark. That's all it says. Got a few likes, so lots of pissed off coaches and lots of coaches looking out for him in a couple of weeks. He's going to miss this week. It's been confirmed, and that's sensible. Two concussions in a month. Let's not play around there. So even though I'm sad that he's got a donut, I'm glad to see the decision was made, and hopefully he turns things around, both for me and for bloody everyone else that'll get on him.
I have no idea what's been going on. I mean, we said he was a bad pick in the preseason. He comes out, smashes two massive scores. I know he copped a concussion, but he's just done nothing since.
If he had a big game this week, they did have a big win. They had a lot of big scores against St Kilda in the end. It could have just looked like a couple of bad games. It's easy for things to turn around, especially with his high scoring potential. So I think if you're getting him at that price, there's little questions asked anyway. But if you have him, like, you can't really get rid of him at that price either. So either way, I think everybody just has to wish the best for Brody Smith. As unfortunate as that is, I almost swore there. So, all right, Jeremy Andrewski's questions next. Is it worth bringing in Tom McDonald at such a high price? So we won't spend too long on this one because Mark's just going to... His tire's getting pumped up too much. But 2 120s for you, Mark. Absolutely huge. And we were talking off air. The thing I really like about him as a key position defender, unlike all the rest, is that the ball's always coming in there. And even when they win games, they never blow teams away. So they still play a contested brand and a tighter brand even when they win. And I think you'll always see plenty of ball. Whereas Rance, I mean, when Richmond has the occasional big wins, he'll have the quiet games. But I mean, his lowest score's been 95 for the season. He's had 5 scores above 120. I've never, ever seen that from a key position defender before. It's insane.
Hooray, I've got him in my team.
All right, that's all you get from Mark. Faz?
I would probably just say that it is probably too high a price. I know that he's scoring insanely well, and kudos to everybody that has him. But as we see with Supercoach every year, these things tend to go in flows. I don't know if there's ever been a defender that's not scored below 95 for a whole year. That's crazy talk. His current average would put him a price even higher than where he is now, so you could look at it that way. But I just think you don't want to be doing that, chasing last week's points and buying high, which I've done it myself in my team. I looked at Pendlebury a few weeks ago. It looked like he was just a must-have player. You had to get him in your team because, you know, he was pulling out 150s. I bought him and he's got 100 and an 85 or something in those 2 weeks. That's probably my philosophy on McDonald. Is just... It's going to hurt if he keeps scoring this well, but it's probably the boat sailed already with this one.
On to the next player, and the question's from at Muddy Moose. Thank you, Robbie, for your question on Twitter. He's asking about, yo, is he a legitimate backline candidate? He had a huge game on the weekend, and he's been building toward this. We've been seeing his potential in games, but he had a monster one on the weekend, guys. He was everywhere, kicking goals, down back, just killing it.
So, 4 goals.
Yeah. 440k means he's still well priced, and in the back line, he's got that back mid flexibility as well. Thoughts, Mark?
I actually don't know what happened to him after round 3. I mean, he started off with 67, 57, and 41, and then's gone 85, 119, 91, and 146.
All I know is that there were 986 coaches who brought him into their team last week, so they would be riding on cloud nine right about now.
At 440, that seems like a bit much. Like, most premiums drop to 440 in the back line, so he does seem like a decent option this week, but he just scored a 140. It only takes a few of those 50 games for everything to come crashing back to reality, so I would be hesitant to pick him up, especially because they're 5-2. West Coast are 5-2, and he's averaging 86, so that's something to consider as well. The next guy that we're actually going to get to, and then we're going to compare the two of them, like I said before, is Jackson Thurlow. So we got the question about him from Christopher. So thank you for your question. He's only at 400K, 406K. He's hit 300s in a row, 102, 100, and 419. Interrupted preseason because of a lacerated kidney, and only broke back into the team in round three. Scored 88, and 52 is his lowest in round four. So he's already gone up 100K. He's at 406. He's also a back mid. And at Geelong, they're calling him the next Corey Enright. I can tell you for sure his job security is there.
Yeah, I think he's definitely shown ever since he started that he was potential to be a Supercoach premium one day, because he does have quite a good kick on him and going along pretty nicely. I think he's probably had a few injury concerns over the past that may have held him back, though, that probably makes him pretty risky even at 400,000.
Both these picks, I think, are fairly full of danger. Faz, you like, would you pick either of them?
Probably not. And it's just, it might just be me being a kind of victim of
mid-price failures.
Mid-price failures and just sticking to the guys that I know. So if I'd probably be waiting for a premium to drop down in price. And there are so many in the back line this year because we've all been complaining about how bad the scores are. So there's going to be guys that have that, you know, years of premium scoring in their history compared to both these guys that have got, you know, a good few weeks, but it seems a little bit speculative to me.
Yeah, it is only 3 or 4 weeks I've seen out of these guys. But with that said, the bonus you would have by picking both of them is they have a round 13 bye. So if they didn't work out quite as you were hoping, you could trade them out around the bye.
I can't remember exactly what his average was when he first broke in, but I know he was good for mostly 70s, Thurlow. He's coming from a very high pedigree. He was a first round draft pick for us. In this season, he's already had 4 games above 80, and it's an interrupted preseason. So I don't want to get on too much because I'm a Geelong supporter. I need to temper that a little bit with this mid-pricer, but I brought him into my draft team a few weeks ago and I'm loving it. And so I've been watching him play and I think that he could actually potentially keep it up. But I think you have to like Thurlow as a player to actually take the risk on him, because he might not work out. There's risk involved with these sorts of players. All right, we'll move on to the next question now. And it's out of the back line into the midfield. And just before we do, flag that Adam Saad in the back line is a chance, apparently, to come back this week, despite being named on the injury list. And we'll thank Mark for that information. And on to the midfield. Alex Bicknell's question is first. He's asking about Ryan Griffin. He's got an injury or subbed out in the third quarter. Is this the final straw?
You're the Griffin man.
Thankfully for me, I no longer have Ryan Griffin in my side. As much as I was complaining about trading Pendlebury in 2 weeks ago, I'm quite happier to see Pendle's name in the lineup rather than Ryan Griffin's. His scoring has just been so erratic this season. It literally goes 70, 118, 77, 113, 69, 107, 53. So it's 1 week horrible, 1 week you're like, yeah, that's why I picked him. It's just not sustainable because you know that the week after there's that crap score coming up again. So I think it's just he's playing in such a young midfield that he's the obvious guy to go to with the tag, because as good as guys like Scheel and Treloar and those guys are looking, I think the opposition teams just know that Griffin can be such a damaging player. So they send their number one tag to him every week, and I can't see that changing. I got off him a couple of weeks ago, so now that he's injured, it only compounds my thoughts. I would say yes, get off.
Yeah, well, he's not beating the tag, which is the thing. Hey, if you're not beating the tag, they're going to keep tagging you, because, I mean, you're a good experienced player that can't beat the tag. Well, hell, we'll sit it on you. So if he's out with an injury, I think I'd probably take this opportunity to move him on. I don't see him being a top eight midfielder for the year. So if he's injured, I wouldn't bother parking the cash on the pine. If he's playing this week, though, I'd be tempted still to hold him until the buys and use it to side swap the donut. Alex has also asked about Adam Treloar being a good good replacement. So getting your thoughts on him, because he's priced quite cheaply as well. We got another person asking about Treloar because of that 48 that he had in round 5. Easily his lowest score. Next lowest is 86. Next lowest is 101. So he's only had two scores under 100. And this 48's keeping it right down. He's under 500K, which in terms of a midfield upgrade is sort of the bargain basement price point. Thoughts, Mark? Are you keen?
Yeah, look, I think he's a really good pick. I think that what we might see with a lot of these GWS players is that they will have a down game here and there, but he's an absolute gun, Treloar. The Giants are playing great footy, and it'll be interesting to see whether they fade over the year as the Suns did last year. But look, I think he is a really good pick at under 500,000.
I also like him, but the main question is, and we'll move on to the next question for the week, Darren Fowler's question, to Rocky or not to Rocky. He's officially bottomed out, and we knew he hit the bottom quick because of that zero. When you drop in price because of a zero, you rebound quick. His break-even's only 80. 447 is absolute peanuts. What do you guys reckon? Surely, with Rockcliffe available at that price, maybe you wouldn't consider Treloar.
Yeah, Rockcliffe would definitely be my priority out of those two. I think he's going to be a really interesting pick this year. If he doesn't work out and the average is in the 100 to 105 range, I guess it's not a ridiculous fail at the price that you're paying for him, but it will set you back because he will be taking up a midfield spot in your team. I think that this week against the Bombers, with the Bombers not having necessarily a great tagger, he was tagged by Corns on the weekend against Port. This weekend could be a game where he gets off the hook and scores quite big, so I think that after next week, a lot of people could have him in their team. But yeah, I think that at his price, he's dropped like nearly 300,000. I think that he could be a season-defining must-have for sure. I know that I said that about Mitchell last week, but Rocky's ceiling is a lot higher than Mitchell's.
When did you start getting so sensationalist, Mark?
Well, I think that there are big calls that come up across the season, and
I agree with you, Mark.
You do get players that come really, really cheap because they've had an injury in the midfield, and they just can go on huge runs, and they're just so important to have in your team.
He's dropped the most in price this year at 262,000. Guess who's dropped the second most in price? Matthew Wright. He's only dropped 159,000. So Rockcliffe has dropped more than 100,000 more than any other player in the league. So I think must-have is probably appropriate for this week. He looks like he's at that point. So if you were to prioritize one, I'd agree with you, Mark. Pick him up this week. And Faz, I assume you're the same.
Oh, absolutely. Like, we talk about players going big when they score 130. Rockcliffe averaged 130 last year. And I'm not saying he's going to do that now when you come into your team. But he can score like 200 points in a game. And as Mark said, Essendon's probably a good team to do it against right now with their lack of midfield pressure and everything.
If you wanted two premium midfielders in the next 2 weeks, for example, would you consider taking Treloar this week? Considering his break-even is 53 and Rockcliffe's is 80, would you consider Treloar this week? And then you can still pick up Rockcliffe. Even if he scores 100, he'll only go up 10K.
I think that if you have other big priorities that you need to deal with this week, then you could probably wait a week on Rockcliffe and still pay a bit more of a premium because he's just so severely discounted. Whether that player is Treloar or someone else, you could potentially make that plan. But I guess the tricky part is what happens if you get a couple of forward injuries next week. It is hard to plan a couple of weeks in advance sometimes. But I think Rocky's going to be a really boring pick. I think pretty much everyone's going to pick him up over the next 2 weeks. And
boring?
It's boring because his score's not going to matter to your team because everybody's going to have him.
And we'll move on to Alistair Campbell's question now. Steve Johnson, he's also bottomed out as well. So you might prioritize him ahead of Rockcliffe if you were interested in his scoring potential. Last week, Mark, with Dunny on the show, we talked about the fact that he potentially had good value, but you probably don't want him against Sydney. He scored 110. He's only gone up 22K more, so he's still cheap at 450K. Would you consider him, Mark, or is that too crazy? Because I know you've been burnt hard.
I have actually played around with my team, and it is an option for me to bring Rockcliffe and Stevie J into my team this week. Just leave one mid spot that I'd need to upgrade, which would be pretty nice. I do think that I do want to take one of the rookies this week. And Stevie J has only averaged over 110 once in his career. Misses games pretty much every year. Those things concern me strongly. If I was going to bring him in, I'd bring him in with a really clear strategy, and that would be hope he goes nuts over the next 4 weeks and trade him out before his bye.
We'll move on to the forwards now. Damien Walsh's question, and this one I'm excited about because you guys are out for this. Thoughts on Lance Franklin? And so he's an option for me, and I get to talk about him because he's bottoming out. Hell to the yeah. 470,000. His break-even is only 100 now. Hasn't had any huge games yet, and we know Franklin has that potential in him, and his draw really opens up. So if you want to jump on Lance Franklin, maybe after the Hawthorn game. But if you don't have Tom Mitchell and you wanted to take a bet against Tom Mitchell, Lance Franklin is a decent bet because Franklin could beat Mitchell by the end of the year.
Could. So what would you say about, because Mitchell's almost the same price as that, Mitchell versus Franklin this week?
Definitely Lance Franklin, because he could kick 10 goals and score 170. And I don't think Mitchell has that potential. We've seen Buddy average 115 before. You know what you get from him. I think at worst, he averages 95. I think at best, he averages 110. But I think the possibility of him averaging 110 is a lot higher than Mitchell, because Buddy's done that
before. I think Buddy is an absolutely great pick this week and a really good point of difference.
So for everybody who doesn't have Tom Mitchell, this is our chance, guys. Buddy Franklin is our ticket to win this XVY. So fingers crossed, guys. We need him to have a big one. If you don't have Buddy and you don't have Mitchell, bring him in. That's what I'm doing next week. If you can do it this week, why not? He scored 90 and 116 against Hawthorn last year, and he's going to play well against the club that he walked away from. I think Buddy is a pretty proud guy. So we'll move on to the finishing topics for the week. James Hawkins' question is first. He's asking about whether we should keep a spot for Gary Ablett. Quick thoughts on that, guys.
No, I'm not keeping a spot because things happen in footy. So there'll be a guy that is not scoring as well as I would like him to, or gets injured, that something will come up at the point that I need to bring Gary Ablett in. So I'm not going to jeopardise my team just for that.
Exactly the same as Faz. And I also think that Ablett didn't have the really low score that's going to bring his price right down. So it's going to be tricky to bring him in.
I don't think you should intentionally hold a spot, but some people are not going to finish upgrading their teams before the buys this year. I'm one of those people. And so Patrick Cripps might very well be in my team past the buys, in which case that's sort of Gary Ablett's spot, but that's as far as I'm sort of going with it. Yeah, I don't intend to bring him back unless he shows good stuff. But I'm assuming when Gary comes back, he's going to show good form. We'll move on to the next question from Anthony. How many players should I have on field each week of the buys? He seems to recall 18, and 18 is correct. So for everyone running into the buys, they're 18 scoring players only, not the 22. So you can have up to 4 donuts on field and it won't affect your score. And you have more than 18, then you miss out on the lowest scores, basically. So it pays to have more players. And the last question is from Cameron Lockhead this week. Is it time to trade your opening or closing podcast song? Maybe time to upgrade. So I thought this was a good one. Take a bit of a poll, Mark. So on the Supercoach Coach podcast actual page where this podcast is hosted, we'll have the poll underneath the actual link. So let us know what you think. Yes or no, whether we should change the song, because we've had it for about 6.5 years.
And it does divide us. Nice.
I took it away for a while and then some people wanted it back. And now that it's back, some people hate it. So we'll take a straw poll and then let the community decide. How about that?
Don't they think that we're jumping up and getting crazy?
That's it for this week, and massive thanks to Faz for joining us again.
Very happy to be here, guys. Hopefully coming on and getting your advice is going to turn my fortunes right around, because I need all the help I can get right now.
And next week, because I'm going to be actually overseas for a couple of weeks, I'm flying off and I need to do the podcast a bit early, so it'll be Faz and I doing the podcast. And Mark, will you be joining us?
Yes, unfortunately, we lost our basketball final last night, so we're not playing the grand final next week, and I will be there.
So Mark will be joining us, and it will be an early time next week. We're recording on Monday. We will release it on Tuesday, so you'll have it extra early, and hopefully it should be a good show.
If Essendon lose to Brisbane on Sunday, I might not turn up.
Oh, if Geelong lose to Carlton, I guarantee you I will not show up. I need some good fortune there as well, guys. And just want to shout out to the Supercoach Coach community, because I was pretty down and out over the weekend, but had some messages of encouragement after I posted my desolate messages and really gave me a lift. So thanks, guys. Going to keep my head in the game and hopefully come from the back this time. Not done that before, Mark. And maybe I should get some...
I did hear you. You do like coming from behind, Marcus.
Thanks, buddy. You're used to doing this, coming from behind a little bit.
On that highbrow note.
That's it for this week's show. Thank you so much for joining us again. And don't forget, jump on our forum, supercoachcoach.com.au/forums. It's humming at the moment, and you can find us there for trade advice or anything. So we'll catch you again next week. See ya.
See you, guys.
See ya.